Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
How's it going? You're very welcome along to Friday's Off the Ball. Nathan with you through till 9 o'clock this evening. We've got a busy show coming up. We're going to hear from some Ulster hurling royalty. Shane Stapleton has been talking to both Terence McNaughton and his son Shane. So that coming up in the next hour. We'll also hear from Stephen Hendry. Our own Shane Hannan is over at the Crucible this week and has been chatting with Stephen Hendry ahead of the semi-finals. We'll hear from Alan Quinlan, Dennis Leamy and Marcus Horn as well. They're going to be airing some of their dirty laundry about their training ground scraps. That from our roadshow at the Mansion House on Wednesday night. And in a couple of moments' time, we're going to be talking about underage football in Ireland with Kieran Masterson and Mick Kennedy ahead of a huge weekend for the DDSL. They've got the likes of Bayern Munich, Ajax, Chelsea, Liverpool coming over to play out in Abbottstown. So we'll bring you all the details on that shortly. But before all that, I want to give you a chance to enter this week's competition. We have teamed up with British Airways to give one lucky listener the chance to experience the sights and sounds of Las Vegas. Vegas has everything you could possibly need on holiday, from musicals and family entertainment to spas, golf and canyon walks. There are now more ways than ever to fly to Las Vegas from Dublin, with British Airways offering connections at Gatwick and Heathrow and looking after all your baggage, in-flight entertainment and dining needs. Our overall prize features a fabulous trip for two, featuring return flights, 5 nights in the 5-star Venetian hotel and €1,000 spending money. Everyone who enters this week will also be put in the end of week draw that will take place tomorrow. But tonight's winner will also bag 2 tickets to see Ben Folds live on the 12th of May. To enter, just identify our mystery voice, who couldn't believe he had to explain to Ger Gilroy that the toys are actually inside the Kinder Eggs.
It's within them, Ger.
Text the word Vegas along with your name and answer to 53106 for 30 cent. We will announce the winner at the end of the show. It's Viva Las Vegas with thanks to British Airways. So this evening, the Dublin District Schools Boys League is hosting the inaugural DDSL Lifestyle Sports Friendship Cup out at FAI headquarters in Abbottstown. It runs all weekend and it marks the DDSL's 75th anniversary. It's the biggest schoolboy league in Europe, and this weekend an under-13s DDSL selection will be taking on teams from Liverpool, Ajax, Manchester United, Chelsea and Bayern Munich. Yesterday, myself and Kev had Mick Kennedy, who's vice chairman of the DDSL, in studio, alongside Kieran Masterson, who is a part of the organising committee. But as I put it to him, he's probably better known these days as Connor's dad.
Correct.
Wait, when does that moment
That's
happen?
A nice smile there when you say that as well, yeah.
I think in the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's a nice thing to be known as now, with the way the last couple of months have gone for him.
Oh, without doubt. He's certainly living, an ambition that he's had, and the experiences that he's going through at the moment are a pleasure for us all to see. It's been a long journey. But I suppose his journey is probably something that we understand, because he has come through the DDSL, he was in the Kennedy Cup team, and he is representative of his country and representing the league from where he comes from. And today, all that experience that he got in the league is manifesting himself in a very, well, I think, an opportune time where he has a chance to maybe fulfil his own dream and become a Liverpool footballer.
When did you realise that he was a little bit different to all the other boys out playing football?
I suppose, in fairness to Connor, it would probably be very early on, 7, 8, 9 years of age. He showed reasonable promise. But again, that promise was only developed because of the competition that we had. Connor was very lucky to play for Lucan United and very lucky to play in the Dublin District Schoolboy League. He had great competition every week, and anybody who knows Connor's development and experiences would say that he was forged in the league. So I would see Connor as, as a product of what we're trying to do today. We're trying to improve the league. We're trying to create a situation where we can grow more players. And I think that's fundamentally, he is an example of where we've got it right as a league. But there's lots more other boys before him, and there's lots more going to come after him.
I think you're saying that's something that rings very true. It's his peers almost, isn't it? It's the peers around you that drive your own standards from such a young age that get you to the levels that we're seeing, obviously, Connor now and many others, as you said before, and hopefully many more to come. It's the standard of the league itself.
To be brutally honest, the 98 age group, right, we were very fortunate. There were some excellent players. Competition was immense. when you eventually got onto the, say, the representative side of the DDSL, we were very fortunate to have excellent coaches. Conor was exposed to that development, and when the trial or the scouting world came to call, he was ready, and he was in a better position because he had that experience of that high level of competition. And I sit here and I think back of all the good players and the good managers and who have been hugely contributing to Conor's development. Does that make sense?
Mm. Yeah.
So without them, we wouldn't
be. It's fantastic to see Conor coming through, because the players that are there within the DDSL squads will look up to Conor and see how he's progressed within Liverpool. So it does give them a huge incentive as well.
Yeah, how again, you know, I think we of course we're here now to talk around the DDSL in general, but it's okay then. Yeah, he gets to his level now. He's at Conor, but he's still now got to make. Huge. He's probably got to make an even bigger step now. In many respects, he's almost walked to the other end of the earth to get where he is now. Now all of a sudden he's got to get to that next level. You can't underestimate what actually it takes now for him to achieve, as you say, what he wants to do and go and establish himself at Liverpool.
Without doubt, I suppose the private conversations we would have, he would acknowledge that. Yeah, he's close, but so far away. Mm. And like last night, he had a fantastic opportunity, fantastic experience as a fan. He's a Liverpool fan, and being in Rome and being around the team. But he would say when he went training to Ley and Lallana made a holy show of him, he said he realises how far the gap is between sitting and very close to the bench, being on the bench. But it's a different world to try and make sure you get into that squad and get to that team, you know.
You must be incredibly proud of how he's handled it, though, because we've spoken to him here on the show. Tony O'Donoghue interviewed him on RTE the night after the game against Manchester City, and he comes across so well, very, very level-headed.
Well, I genuinely would say he gets it all from his mother, but I genuinely say the development in this country, people knock a lot of what goes on, but Conor was exposed to all these things, whether when he was working in the different, with the good coaches in the DDSL League, moving on to the Kennedy Cup, but dealing with Niall Harrison, Tom O'Connor, all of these experienced international managers, they gave Conor a huge opportunity and huge insight how things were done. So when he went to go on trial and when he went to get to an environment where he is now, he has some experience of how we should handle himself and who he's representing.
How does the DDSL define success for young players? Is it in terms of sheer numbers playing football, underage football in Dublin, or is it in terms of Mastersons and the amount of guys who end up playing for Ireland?
There's both. Effectively, we have in excess of 20,000 players and we're continuing to grow. We've over 1,600 teams. As far as we're concerned, every kid is important. Now, kids develop at different stages. We've changed a huge setup from the age of 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, which is now non-trophy, and we're working very closely with the FEI. Not only are we working closely with the FEI, but all the other leagues around the country are doing so as well. And it takes time to develop that system, and that system coming through. Obviously, we want to see players that are of the same calibre as Conor and coming through that system. But it's open to all the players. But certainly, with the new structure that is in there with the development plan with the FEI, I have no doubt in my own, from looking at our own league, is that in time we are going to see some fantastic players coming out. And that comes back to from the age of 7, and I can talk about
that. That's the coaching and the management that you've got in the structure from such a young age then, yeah.
The big difference is where you take 8s and 9s, they're now playing a new format system, 5v5. I won't go into the full details, but effectively the goalkeepers can't kick it out of their hands. There's a retreat line. So what tends to happen is the goalkeeper must roll it to the defender. Yeah. But the defender now has time on the ball because the forward has to stay until such time as the defender gets the ball. So now what I can see, and this has been going on for 4 years, if you go out to see some of these kids who start at 7 and 8 and who are now 11 and 12, you can see that they're not panicking. They're passing the ball up the field. They're not booting it all the way up and it's coming back, although that did work for Jack Charlton. Yeah. So we can't knock that. But at the end of the day, the skill set, and more importantly with that system, is that the players are comfortable on the ball.
So you're saying rather than the old theory was the survival of the fittest in many ways, who could kick the ball the furthest,
yes,
who could shoot from the furthest
that's
distance,
right,
as well. Rather than that, now we're actually getting a structure in place where we're actually encouraging defenders to take the ball from the goalkeepers, who are actually encouraged to take the ball as
exactly
well, pass it into midfield. But so where is this system come from then? Because this, as you say, it's very much out of kilter than what we would have maybe 20, 30 years ago been in keeping with.
Well, I'll tell you where it started from. Initially, it started 5 years ago. The committee in the DDSL got together and brought in about 14 coaches, not secretaries, coaches, people on the ground from all the different clubs. We asked at a meeting, said, look, come in and let's see what structure we can come in place. We also had four people from the FEI, Jerry Reardon, and a number of other coaches. And we sat down for about 4 to 5 months and we said, look, will this system work? And then we worked very closely with the FEI. We were the first ones with the FEI to bring this together, right? And because, and the beauty of the system is that for the first 6 months, we tried it, we let it see how it went. And then what we did is that we brought all the coaches into a meeting from every team, about 250 coaches, and we turned around and said, right, what are we doing right and what are we doing wrong? And what we did is we got their feedback. This didn't come from the DDSL or from the SFEI. This came from the people on the ground. And that's the key.
So the culture then, sorry Nathan, you said, so the culture that we've gone away from is, rather than actually produce winning football, we're producing technically gifted footballers.
For the first number of years. Yes. So what we're trying to do is that instead of little Jimmy going out at under 8 to 9 and his father and his mother and his granny and his manager screaming to win that cup at under 8, we're now trying to make the kids comfortable on the ball. We're trying to make them relaxed. And we're also trying to give them confidence, which is more important.
Is that a risk? Robbie Keane didn't grow up in that environment. He was getting kicked around the streets when he was 8 or 9 and it didn't do him any harm.
No, but at the end, time will tell. But I from what I can see, definitely, look, it's going to take a number of years for this to see the full fruition. But when you come in, you come out and see some of the 11As, I'm not just talking about Dublin, I'm talking about around the country. Some of the standard is absolutely fantastic and that will take time. There's no question about that.
What then about the changes with the League of Ireland and the FAI to 13s, 15s, 17s and moving in with the League of Ireland clubs? Have you started to notice any real effect from that? And how do you think it's going to affect the general participation? Because the worry would be that if you don't make a team at under 13 and certainly at under 15, they'll kind of think, well, I'm never going to make it and I'll just give up.
Yeah, well, the big difficulty with that is it's in its infancy. It's only starting off now, so the jury's out as whether it will be a success. The difficulty is that if you go down to under-13s and you're talking about bringing kids at 11 or 12 and they're travelling up to Finn Harps and down to Cork and there's such a big difference, it has to be well managed. There's a huge admin cost behind that as well. And I'm not fully convinced of that. Let's just see how it plays out.
Yeah, because Sean Ryan had the article in the Sunday Independent last weekend about giving the example maybe of Belvedere, who are one of the most famous clubs and who so many Irish internationals have come through, whereby they don't have their own facilities. They rent facilities. That's and crazy. The vast majority of that money comes from young players going to England and the fees, minuscule as they are, that they're getting, but they sustain the club and they can rent decent facilities. If that's taken away from them, somebody's going to suffer.
Absolutely, you're spot on. That's a huge risk because at the end of the day, you mentioned Belvedere, there's teams Home Farm, Kevin's, who have produced absolutely fantastic players, the Liam Brady's and so forth, and they did it from a system. I mean, the system can work with the clubs in right around the country in conjunction with the FEI, but the problem is how young do you go? That's an issue for us, I'd say. And certainly the other thing as well is that if you have kids going into under 13, under 15 or whatever, and they don't make it in the League of Ireland, the danger is, will they come back into the fold? Will they be embarrassed? It happens if you see players coming back in from the Premier and so forth. They don't tend, in the past anyway, they didn't come back to the League of Ireland or and some of them actually gave up football completely. And I'm concerned that could certainly be the case, where if somebody goes to a League of Ireland and they don't make that and they come back to the local DDSL or whatever club it is in the country, will they actually come back or will they give up football and go to play another sport?
Are you trying to promote then that within the structure now, then at young age, look, if you don't quite make it, or even if you do make it, then look, we are here, we are your safety net in many ways.
But the clubs that you've mentioned, they've been doing this for many, many years. You know, Home Farm and Stella are the founder teams in our 75th anniversary. So they've brought players, Johnny Giles and all these players through. So you don't necessarily have to change.
No,
you know?
No. And
you know more about it, Kieran.
I'm watching. I see it closely, and I could say to you, look, what Damien Duff is doing with the under-15s up in Shamrock Rovers is tremendous. because of my background, I'm seeing those kids come from different clubs and developing. But the ethos up there in relation to semi-full-time training, you can see the benefits. Mm-hmm. And that sets standards and it sets challenges for other clubs to catch up and reach and aspire to maintaining those standards and even peaking as time goes on. The issue for us and the issue that we all have to consider is, if Belvedere isn't there, who's going to look after the kid at 7, 8, 9 and 10? Yeah. If Cherry Orchard aren't there, who's going to look after the kids in that locality going forward? And that's the balance we have to consider. We understand, as a nation, we should develop our National League. Mm-hmm. And you can see where this is geared towards supporting a throughput of players to develop the standard in the National League. Some may say it's a revenue stream for the National League. That's an opinion. But I think what we will see over a period of time is that we will have to ensure that the grassroots is supported. And without that support, we will... and kill the goose that lays the golden
egg. Just in relation, then it comes back to Connor then, because again, 20, 30 years ago, we may have seen 5 or 6 Connor Masters going over. We may have seen 10, 15 lads going over, going to Leeds, going to Man United, Liverpool, whoever it would have been. Mm. Now all of a sudden, we're actually, and I don't necessarily see it as our standards have fallen.
No.
It's just the net has gone so much wider now. So this is a problem that we're encountering at senior international level right through. So I suppose the obligation, as you say there, we are getting our lads, perhaps maybe League of Ireland standard, then all of a sudden they're getting that development side as well. So that we have, it's about, as you say, maybe I suppose working together. That's got to be the key thing,
definitely,
I suppose, through it all.
And I think what's good about the DDSL League, and I think it's important, we would have 20,000 people playing, but tiny numbers who will go on to aspire to be a professional footballer. And I think what people have to understand is the community involvement, the community development, and the person development that the league provides for all of these kids is a must, and that's as important as developing the Connors and the next Connors. But there is a challenge between the pathway that's been created for 13s, 15s, 17s, and 19s in the National League, and vis-a-vis what we had before. How are we going to fund the grassroots of football? How will the Belvedere's, when they're not there, who is going to look after the smaller, young academies? Who's going to do that? And that's the challenge.
Yeah, and that's not just a elite football challenge. That's a community, young children, inner city areas in Dublin, and the good work they're doing there. It's a far greater conversation that I think we'll have to come back to again at some stage. But I do want to talk about what's happening this weekend. So we've Liverpool, Manchester United, Chelsea, Bayern Munich, Ajax coming over to take on a DDSL league team over 3 days of under 13 action. Give us the details then. Where's it all happening?
It's all happening in Abbottstown. It's beginning at 6 o'clock on Friday the 4th, which is we'll have all the teams available, and in fairness to Connor, he's organised the Garda Band. So we'll have the opening ceremony, and the first fixture will take place at 7 o'clock on the Friday. So there's fixtures Friday evening, Saturday morning, two sets of fixtures on Saturday morning, and then two later
on
the
day. What time are the fixtures Saturday morning as well then? What time do they start?
10 o'clock, yeah.
10 o'clock, right.
And 11:45. And then obviously we'll have the playoffs on the Sunday and the final at 12 o'clock.
Yeah, so tickets, £5 per person or €15 will get you in for the weekend. There's parking available out in Abbottstown. If you're going, you need to make the point. You got to use the M50 or the N3, which are the main routes into Abbottstown at times on a Saturday. People are going shopping in Blanchardstown and all that. Give yourself a little bit of time. Like, it promises to be a cracking weekend. Getting Bayern Munich, Ajax over, as well as Liverpool, Chelsea, it's a good learning experience for everybody, coaches, players, anybody,
absolutely,
to see where we are.
See, because it's our 75th, you know, there's so many volunteers involved and there's so many people in the background. We said, look, how do we support, you know, our 75th? What events do we have? And one of the idea for this actually came from our chairman, Paddy Dempsey. And Paddy asked Ciarán to come in and set up a small subcommittee. And that's been taking place since October. Yeah. And in fairness to lads, to get those names, you know, is fantastic. You know, and that's down to Paddy Dempsey and the Ciarán and a couple of others.
Yeah, definitely. There's lots of support, lots of volunteers, lots of people doing the right thing. But I will say this, what's going to happen the weekend will be great entertainment, great for anybody involved in football. Go out and enjoy it. The weather's going to be fantastic. But it is a product of all the hard work of people like Mick and the DDSL and all the volunteers in the league. All the people in the league are going to be stewards, they're going to carry the water, they're going to cut the sandwiches, and it is a reflection of the energies and effort of all those people.
Yeah, you'll know things aren't going well when they don't answer the call, Bayern Munich and Ajax. They don't feel it's worth their while coming over.
Well, I think what we're really looking forward to actually is seeing the standard of these teams. Yeah. Because going back to what we were talking about earlier, there is an emerging talent programme which has been in existence now for 4 or 5 years with the FAI around the country. And we have it at under-11s, 12s, 13s and 14s. And effectively, when the under-11s come in, we would go through the process of having maybe 200 to 300 kids in. And they're looked at on a regular basis. The coaches must go out to some of the games. And then obviously it'll be down to 40 and obviously then it goes lower then. But it'll be very interesting just to see the standard of the DDSL and see how good Man United or Bayern Munich, Ajax, Liverpool and so forth and see where, how far we are, close to them or not, you know.
No pressure on the young lads.
Yeah. I think just one point I've made, if I could. In the words of the competing teams, they say that this is going to be the best standard of competition in Europe this year. So for all the people who are around Dublin or who would travel up, this is an opportunity to see the best competition, the best standard of team available in one weekend. So we'd encourage people to support us.
And also it'd be a great opportunity for people to actually see the campus. You've been out there.
Yes.
It's fantastic. Not just for soccer. There's Gaelic football. There's the athletics. There's the swimming. It's absolutely fantastic. And I know Kieran had brought over a couple of the representatives from some of these clubs to see the standard. And I think it was Chelsea that said to you that you know, this is fantastic. And there's still building going on. Yeah. So like in time, this is going to be fantastic.
We're starting to do things right. Very best of luck at it. Well done. I would love to get you back in again over the next couple of months and chat a bit more about the changes to the underage structure and what it means for Irish football. But the Dublin District Schoolboys League, the Lifestyle Sports Friendship Cup taking place this weekend, FAI headquarters, Abbottstown, just off Blanchardstown. You can get your tickets. It's only a fiver a day, so get out there and support all the lads.
A family ticket, 35 for two adults, two kids for the full weekend. So it's
We know who the salesman is here.
Yeah. And we should thank all our sponsors. We want to thank Lifestyle. We want to thank specifically our Lingus, who've been tremendous to us, our own O'Neills who are supporting us, who throughout that. But we need to say thank you to those people, because without that support, we wouldn't be able to put this event on.
And thank you to the
mention
evening.
Your personal sponsors. Thanks a lot, lads. Best of luck with us.
Thank you.
That is Kieran Masterson and Mick Kennedy, who are some of the brains behind the DDSL Friendship Cup, which is happening out at Abbottstown this evening and runs until Sunday, featuring under 13 teams from Manchester United, Liverpool, Chelsea, Bayern Munich and Ajax. Tickets available from out in Abbottstown all weekend. Up next, we have two generations of Antrim hurling greatness, Terence McNaughton and his son Shane.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.